And so Mr. Williams came up with a text and he said, "One star differeth from another star in glory." That's from 1 Corinthians 15. And so immediately Mr. Spurgeon began to talk about the stars, their positions, their patterns, and all the information that he had tucked away in his mind on the wonders of the galaxies and of the stars. And then he said, "But the greatest of the stars was the star from the east, because it led the wise men to Jesus."
Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak, and in this season of the year we take a wonderful opportunity to preach the good news of our Lord Jesus born into the world. And of course there's nothing like getting the truth right from the Bible, and I exhort that over this Christmas season that you do read the account of Jesus' birth in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. There's nothing like learning right out of the Bible, the divine, inerrant record of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now in Matthew chapter 2 we read, "When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born, King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." And so here we have it, the record of Jesus' birth in the very place of which it was prophesied, and how all these scriptures came together, and Mary and Joseph made their way to that town for the census, and the child was born in Bethlehem. I hope that today in the program that you will learn more of the miracle of Jesus' birth. It was not only a miracle of incarnation, but it was a miracle life. The supernatural life declares the supernatural nature of the child. And what a wonder that God sent his Son to save his people from their sins. And I hope that you will join in through the program today. Enjoy the music as we rejoice that we have a wonderful Savior. And then back to our pulpit ministry on the birth of our Lord and those wise men that followed the star.
Who is he in yonder stall at whose feet the shepherds fall? Who is he in deep distress, fasting in the wilderness? Tis our Lord, a wondrous story, tis the Lord, the King of glory, that
Come to thee in Jesus' name. We thank thee again for this memory, this remembering of the birth of our Lord. We thank thee that we have a Savior, one like us, one who is made of our very nature, physically, emotionally, in every human way, made like unto us, that you would understand, that you would be able to sympathize, that you would walk in our shoes, as it were. And, O Lord, we thank thee that you can enter into the cares, the needs, and the burdens of your people. We thank thee tonight that thou art with us, Emmanuel, and you're with us in every aspect of life, not just on Sundays, not just in church, but in our daily walk, in our interaction with men, in our homes. And, O Lord, all of this because you came into the world and you sought us. And we thank thee tonight that you have given us this simple, childlike faith in our wonderful Lord Jesus. We ask for your nearness now. Lord, be ever so near to us as we open your word and as we speak the great things of the Christ this evening. We ask this and pray in Jesus' precious and wonderful name. Amen. I have on my laptop a PDF file of a book of insights to the life of the Reverend C.H. Spurgeon. And somehow I opened it up and I started reading. And I learned about Mr. Spurgeon taking a fishing trip with one of his fellow ministers, a man called the Reverend Williams. Wednesdays was Mr. Spurgeon's day off when he could take it, when the weather was nice. And of course, in the spring and summertime, he loved the English countryside. He was born in the Eastern Anglia area of Essex, but Surrey, England, was his adopted home. And he knew every valley, he knew every stream and every hill, and he knew every home in those areas. Some of them were homes of politicians. Out in the countryside, they would have their country residence. He was very well versed in tree life. He could identify any tree. He could tell you different aspects about plant life. He enjoyed nature, and he abhorred those who said that the study of nature was a waste of time. Mr. Spurgeon could see God in all of nature, even in the very petals of the flowers. He would count the veins and see there the handiwork of God in the minutest little detail. Now, on this fishing trip that he set out, they actually did not go to catch fish, but they stayed behind and they put on the pot to boil, and they waited for the pot to boil and for the fishermen to catch the fish and bring them back for a right royal feast. Now, while he and his friend Reverend Williams were waiting by the pot to boil, Mr. Spurgeon said to him, "Throw me a text and I'll expound it to you right here." And so Mr. Williams came up with a text and he said, "One star differeth from another star in glory." That's from 1 Corinthians 15. And so immediately Mr. Spurgeon began to talk about the stars, their positions, their patterns, and all the information that he had tucked away in his mind on the wonders of the galaxies and of the stars. And then he said, "But the greatest of the stars was the star from the east, because it led the wise men to Jesus." And brother, you and I need to be like that star who lead men and women to the Lord Jesus. I wonder tonight, would you, like these wise men, follow a star all the way into another country? Leave your home, leave everything you're doing, and go to an unknown destination with the conviction that that is going to change your destiny. Now, we know that these men not only believed in a star, but they believed in the Savior that the star would lead them to, because when they arrived at Herod's palace, their statement was, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Because we are come to worship him." That is phenomenal. Men of another heathen country, they have come hundreds of miles across desert and mountain following a star, and their desire is that they might find this newborn king, that they would worship him. Now, this was therefore not just a curiosity trip to these wise men. The light of that star was sufficient to make these men convinced and confirmed Christians. I use that word advisedly. They were magi. They were astronomers. They were most likely Persians. But somehow there was built into their minds a conviction that this child that they would find was worthy of their worship. And they came to bestow on him all their honor, all the glory that was due unto the Lord Jesus. You know, that's what the gospel does. You and I are here tonight when many people are out in the world partying and reveling in other things, and our interest is that we would honor and that we would worship the Lord Jesus. And what a great thing that we can come to the house of God on this evening and just be still a while and ponder the wonder of our Lord Jesus. The first thing we should think about tonight is the timing of the star. So much of providence was behind the timing. And the timing of the star was Christ-focused. And I hope tonight that you are Christ-focused. Now, I know there are many things about Christmas that get us distracted. There's wrapping paper. There's bows. There's gifts. There's food. There's drink. There's friendships. There's traveling. And people do all kinds of exciting things at this time as we remember the birth of the Lord. Now, the timing is absolutely incredible here. When you think of the distance that these men traveled, hundreds of miles. In most Christmas cards, you will see them coming on camels. The Bible doesn't exactly say that, but because they came from the east, that was a common mode of transport. But it wasn't jet, it wasn't a boat, it wasn't a fast mode of transport. It would have taken considerable time. The obstacles and the borders that they must have crossed from the Persian Empire into the Roman Empire to get to the gates of Jerusalem, all of that is huge. And of course, in this case, it was not to a manger that they came. It was the shepherds who were told that they would find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger, but not the wise men. The wise men came to Bethlehem to a house where the child was found. And we sort of jumped to the conclusion, because Herod later commanded the death of all the infants up under 2 years old, that by the time these wise men arrived at Bethlehem, months had gone by. And the child would have may have well have been into his second year, one plus. And yet they found him there in Bethlehem. Now, why wait almost 2 years? Was this the length of time that was required to travel? Was there some other providence at work? Well, we can be very certain that God was guiding these men, because they were following the star right to the house where Jesus dwelt. Now, the gospel message in this tonight is that God always guides his people by a remarkable providence. He leads us to seek and to find the Lord Jesus in many different ways. And if you're a Christian tonight, your testimony is going to be different from the person sitting beside you or behind you or anywhere in the church. If we were to explain and trace the distances we came from our sin and our darkness, our worldly mindedness, from various parts of the world, and how we first heard the gospel, our stories would be very different. And yet it's unquestionable that God was working, and God was leading, and God was moving. Now, to broaden this out, the Greek world was the world that provided the language for the gospel. The Roman world was the world that provided the roads, because of their trade and their marching armies. Then the Persian world was the world with its riches. And think now of these men coming with their gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And then there was the Indian world, which even at the first century, they were beginning to hear the gospel. And Europe. What an amazing providence of God at work. Now, during the Dark Ages, there was little movement, and we wonder why. Why, for hundreds of years, did the gospel not shine and advance more and more clearly? It seemed that at that time, the curtains of the light and the knowledge of the true gospel was closing fast. And then at the Protestant Reformation, God burst forth in great light, and the nations which were in darkness heard the gospel in great power. This is the providence of God. And we should take to heart tonight that even here in Canada, God has work of providence. There are people that he will bring to these shores, people that he will move to hear the gospel, and God's timing will be perfect. And so let us be a church that continues to pray in faith, witness in faith, and trust God that he will save his people and bring them to the knowledge of the Lord. And we take all of that from this great event of wise men following the star, focused on finding the Lord Jesus. Now, the next thing is that the direction of the star was Christ-focused. It was first seen in the east, and so it was traveling westward, all the while getting ever closer and closer to the place where they would find the Savior. That is just like the Bible. When you start in the book of Genesis, it is a great distance to where the Savior's born. But as you turn the pages and turn the chapters and turn the books of the Old Testament, you're getting nearer and nearer and nearer to the actual account of the Savior's birth. You have the types and the shadows. You have the sacrifice of Abraham offering Isaac on Mount Moriah, where Solomon built the temple, where outside of that city our Lord Jesus was crucified. And all the while God was building and building and working toward the Savior coming into the world. Now, the question of the Magi as they came to the gates of Jerusalem was, where is he? Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Think of the light they had. Think of the knowledge that was in their hearts. And Christians can testify that all their life has been a journey to bring them to the light of the Savior. Now, I must be careful here, because salvation is not a journey. When you become a Christian, you're not on a journey to find Christ anymore. But there are many roads that lead to the Lord that bring sinners to Jesus. And when you come, as these men did, they worshiped him and they left. They were satisfied. I hope tonight that you can say that you are satisfied, that you have found the Lord Jesus. He's the end. He's the focus of your journey. And all your searching's over. You're not going out into the dark, taking a leap into the dark. But rather you are coming to the certainties and to the assurances of personal faith in the Lord Jesus. And so tonight, the simple lesson is, do not lose sight of him. We know the panic of these men for a time when they lost sight of the star. How could that happen? Why did it happen? Well, we know that in the providence of God, they would come to Jerusalem. They would ask those questions. They would get answers from the priests and the scribes. And then Herod, of course, he was brought into the picture, and his evil work was soon to be done. But all of that was in the providence of God.
Oh,
listening to Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Did you know that Jesus is the express image of the person of God? In the Rospigliosi Palace in Rome is Guido Reni's famous fresco, The Aurora, a work unequaled in that period for nobility of line and poetry and color. It is painted on a lofty ceiling. As you stand on the pavement and look up at it, your neck stiffens, your head grows dizzy, and the figures become hazy and indistinct. And so the owner of the place has placed a broad mirror near the floor. In it, the mirror, the picture is reflected, and you can sit down before it and study the wonderful work in comfort. Jesus Christ does precisely that for us. When we try to get some notion of God, He is the mirror of deity. He is the express image of God's person. He interprets God to our dull hearts. In Him, God becomes visible and intelligible to us. We cannot, by any amount of searching, find out God. The more we try, the more we are bewildered. Then Jesus Christ appears. He is God stooping down to our level, and He enables our feeble thoughts to get some real hold on God Himself. There is a wonderful tribute to the miracle of Jesus' birth, coming into the world to reveal the Father. And I trust that you will put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know is life eternal. Welcome, and thank you for joining with us here on the program, Let the Bible Speak. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher, and I hope the message today on the star guiding those wise men to the Lord Jesus will stir your heart to seek the Savior. He is truly to be found and to be enjoyed. And I trust that this Christmas season that you will seek the Lord with all your heart. He is the true Savior. He is the Savior whom the Father hath sent into the world to be our Redeemer. And if I can be of any personal help, make sure you give me a call, 604-576-1091. I want to invite you along to our Christmas Eve service at 6 p.m. here in our church at 18790 58 Avenue. That's on the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. We look forward to having you join with us. Bring your family, bring your friends as we rehearse together the great, wonderful story of the birth of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust that you can come and join with us, well, of course, on Sunday at 10:30 in the morning or 6 p.m. Sunday evening, and then for our Christmas Eve service, 6 p.m. here at our church. We look forward to having you join with us. May the Lord minister to your heart. For those who wish to write, send us a note at 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. Or go to our website for all the information, www.ltbs.ca. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. Thank you for being a part of the program. Thank you for joining with us at this time. And we look forward to having you again at this time as we let the Bible speak.